You know, one of my favorite things about this time of year is just the lights that kind of go up here and there. And my wife and I, we walk our neighborhood on a regular basis, and just every week it seems like more of our neighbor's houses had lights on them. And we do have one neighbor that seems like every week he added more lights and more lights and more lights. He's kind of going for that Griswold Christmas, but it's beautiful, but it's a lot, you know, that's what I'm saying. But I love the lights and how it just kind of lightens our neighborhood. We've even had, like, it seems like more conversations over this last month than we've had in, I don't know, the months prior to that. And I don't know, it just seems like, at least for me, it seems like it just spins people in a different place, you know? It gives them a different perspective. It allows them to get out of our corners a little bit and see each other again. And so we've had conversations with people about lighting a cactus and all sorts of different things, and just kind of gotten to know our neighbors in a different way than maybe we had in the months prior, and it's just been a really cool thing. And there's just something about this time of year that I guess breeds that just a little bit. And even if it's just for moments at a time, I mean, you get on the freeway and you don't see it for sure, but moments at a time where all of a sudden your neighbor, you know, brings over a package that was misdelivered to their house, or you have a talk with somebody as you're walking along. There's just something about God's doing something at this time of year, and the lights just kind of do something for me. It's reminding me that God sent Jesus, and we learned in the Genesis series that we're going through right now that he sent Jesus, the light, right, into the world. And it just kind of lightens up everything. And it gives that different perspective, and it does that healing that it's supposed to do. And it's just something that Jesus still makes a difference here in 2025, and I love that. Even yesterday, we were sitting here, Mike, Rendy, and I, we were looking at the lights and seeing what we wanted to do for service and stuff like that. And I'll just say, number one, whether it's Rendy or Brandon or whoever's helped them out, there's just people in our congregation that use their gifts because they want this night to be special for you guys. They want the sanctuary to look awesome. If it were me, I do not have this gift, right? But they do, and the courtyard looks beautiful. And just, I mean, the detail that they go through. And anyway, we were just looking at the lights. We had all the lights down, and we were looking at the different things that they had done. And I was like, man, this is gorgeous. And it gives it a different feel and a different presence. And you walk in here, and you know something's different. And that's my hope for you guys tonight, that you walk in here and, I don't know, maybe your ears are a little bit more open, or you know you're here for a reason, right? It's to celebrate Jesus and the difference that he brings into our world. And if you didn't pick it up so far, we're going to use light as my theme today, because light is actually a theme, a major theme all the way through the Bible. The Bible says, for example, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. That light theme equates the light of that he's talking about in Scripture to the light of Christ, or to the light of truth, or to the light of life, the life that Jesus brings. The Bible says that the first act of creation was, let there be light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. And on Christmas, that very first Christmas, light played a huge role. The angels put on a spectacular light show for the shepherds when they announced, behold, born this day in the city of David is a Savior, Christ the Lord. The wise men followed that star all the way from the east, all the way to the west, to Bethlehem, and then, or to Jerusalem, and then to Bethlehem to see the newborn king that was born. It even split history, right? This Jesus coming into the world, this bringing this light in the world, history into AD and BC. Just objectively, it's the most single, most important historical event ever to happen, when God came to this earth in human form. But the question I want to look at tonight is, what does it mean when it talks about God sending Jesus to be the light of the world? I mean, what difference does Jesus make? I mean, that's really what I want to take a look at. For the Bible says this in John 1, and he's just trying to, John, as he's writing his gospel, he's just saying, I want to make Jesus richer. I want to help people understand just the breadth and the depth of how amazing he is. And so he begins in this way. He says, before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive, and it is himself God. He created everything. Do you know that he created everything? The Bible says that Jesus created everything. Eternal life was in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. His light is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. You start looking at that and you're asking, what does all that mean, right? It just means that Jesus came to light up all mankind. And you think about what light does. Light exposes and gets rid of the darkness, right? Everything you were doing in the dark, all of a sudden there's a light on it, and that can be good or bad, right? But the reality is he shines a light on it and he gets rid of the darkness. And so it brings truth and clarity and understanding. It also brings healing in its way. And so he's talking about, when he talks about that, so the darkness can't overcome, and he's talking about a spiritual darkness, right? And so often we get caught up in the spiritual darkness, and spiritual darkness is when we lose sight of God, right? And we start walking our own way and doing our own thing. And there's a lot of things that can cause that, just to kind of delve into those moments of spiritual darkness. We can pursue sin, and that's when we're actually turning our back on the light and walking our own way, hoping everything works out. And sometimes we get into that for seasons, and we lose sight of God and his love, his mercy, and his care, and we start vilifying him because he doesn't agree with the stuff that we do, and we just lose sight of that light. Sometimes it's just that life hits us. You know, 2025 was a very dark year for a lot of you guys. I look out of the crowd and I just know, I know a lot of the situations, a lot of the stories that are sitting there. Some of you lost your job over the last year. Some of you were laid off. Some of you went through bankruptcy just had a brutal financial situation, whether at work or at home. Some of you had a relational crisis with your husband or your wife, or your kids, or your boyfriend or your girlfriend. I know at least a few of you went through a divorce. Some of you have had a death of a loved one, and that's always hard and brutal to walk through. Others of you went through a cancer treatment or had a diagnosis of some disease. There's just a lot of different things. You had a conflict. You went through a midlife crisis, whatever it was, but in those moments, man, you were just looking down at the belly button and how hard life was in those moments, and you were trying to control the uncontrollable, and you were freaking out, and you were spinning, but you just lost sight of him. I'm telling you, Christmas is a time where he just shines that light to remind us that he's there, to remind us that he's got us, to remind us that we matter. And so if you had one of those kind of years where you just lost sight, whether it be for a long period of time or a short period of time, I want you to know that God saved his very best for last in 2025. And at the end of this year, he wants to light up your life on Christmas Eve with his love and with his peace and with his grace. He wants to remind you of Jesus and the care that he has for you through him. And so I want to make you this guarantee tonight. If you listen for the next few minutes and pay attention to everything we talk about and what the Bible says, if you'll open your life to Christ just for a little bit here, I promise then that if you let God in, your 2026 will be enlightened in a totally different way. It will give you a clarity and an understanding and a brightness that you didn't think possible. Again, if you just let Christ in, just again to remind you of how much he loves you and how much he cares for you, it'll make a difference. And so the big question is, why did he come to do what he did? What did he come to bring? And so I'm going to use that light theme. And so the first point I'm going to give you tonight is just something like this. He came to light up your minds and let you know what God was all about. First question you have with that is, what is it to light up our minds? And I was trying to be thematic, but I'll give you this. Have you ever had a flash of insight and said, it's like a light bulb went off in my mind, right? You can call it enlightenment. That's what I'll call it tonight. All of a sudden, something you couldn't figure out before, all of a sudden it starts to make sense. It's like a light went on, and all of a sudden you get something that wasn't there before. All of a sudden things got clear, and you went, oh, as I'm looking at my life, that's why God did what he did. That's why God allowed me to go through that. That's why this happened. I see now what God's been doing this whole time. See, one of the benefits of knowing Christ is that our confusion is replaced with clarity. It's an amazing thing, but the closer you get to Christ, the more you understand his word, the more you understand what he has promised, the more you begin to understand some of the things that have gone through your life, the good and the bad, and sometimes even the ugly. You see yourself clear, you see God clear, you see life clear, you see your problems clear, you see other people clear, but all of a sudden it's like a light has been turned on. And instead of this, that total disarray and confusion, all of a sudden there's some clarity of what God has been doing this whole time. I mean, there's something that's gotten you here tonight in 2025, right? You could have been in your PJs watching the movie or something like that, but something in you moved you to come to service, even in the midst of the drizzle that was outside. Something in you wanted to come to a place where you would hear about Jesus and again be reminded of his love and his care, where you could sing his carols and, I don't know, celebrate Christmas different than the rest of this world. Notice a couple of verses. The Bible says, understanding God's word brings light to the minds of ordinary people, which is good because I'm an ordinary person. He says, when you understand this book, God's word, all of a sudden it becomes clear what life is all about. The Bible also says that Satan works hard to blind the minds of people so that they cannot see the light, which is the good news about Christ, who shows us what he's like. It explains those times when we want to walk away from him and do our own things, why things get so much harder. Explains to us again when things get hard and we lose sight of him in the midst of the hardness, why things again get so much harder and spiral out of control. And so I'll ask you, are you confused about something right now in your life? Or what are you confused about right now in your life? Are you confused about the future? You know, what am I supposed to do this next year? Are you confused about a relationship? How do I get on with it? How do I get out of it? What do I do with it? Are you confused about your finances, your health, or some other thing? Well, then the answer is you need to let God's light shine into your life to find that clarity. Notice again, Jesus says in John 12, I have come as a light to shine in the dark world so that all who put their faith and trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. When you're going through those hard times, man, Jesus is the thing that reminds you that he's got you, that he's there. When you're going through those hard times and you turn around and you see him, he's the one that heals you, he forgives you, renews you, gives you the strength to keep on going, reminds you that there's hope. He's the one that makes it possible to endure those hard times. Jesus says, I don't want you to be in the dark anymore. I don't want you to be in the dark about life or about yourself or about your problems. But most of all, I don't want you to be in the darkness when it comes to me. And so Jesus comes into this world to show us what he was like, to show us that we matter, to show us how much that he loved us. He came to save us from this mess so often that we call life. Why else did he come? He came to tell us the truth. And you say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because Jesus said, I came into this world to tell people the truth. And I think that's kind of refreshing. I actually love that. That's what I would do if I were God, especially in this world of ours. I mean, don't you ever get tired of people lying to you? You go to work, you turn on the news, you listen to Detroit Lions football. I mean, they're all lying to you, telling you what you think you want to hear, telling you that our secondary isn't a problem, that we'll overcome it. Truth is, they just tell you what they think you want to hear. You know, this year will be different, but it's not, and they know it. And sometimes even your friends don't tell you the truth or have the courage to tell you the truth. Why? Because confrontation is hard, because they don't want to upset you, because they don't want to lose your friendship, because they're afraid you can't handle it, because they're afraid they'll be rejected. They want to be politically correct or whatever the other reason. But they won't, or they don't tell you the truth. And so the fact is there's only one person in all this world that will tell you the truth all the time, and it's God. He'll tell you the truth no matter what. And he does it because he loves you. Let me see if I can give you that perspective. You go to the doctor because you're not feeling good. And the doctor gives you a diagnosis, right? And he says, I hate to tell you this, but you've got, you know, and then he tells you what you've got, the illness, the disease, the sickness, or whatever. Is the doctor being judgmental when he's telling you that? No. I mean, at least we wouldn't call it that, right? He's doing it because he cares about you. He's telling the truth because he wants to help you. It's not to harm you. It's to help get you better. And so he's not telling you this hard news in judgment. He's telling you the truth because he wants to help you. And he says, now that we know the truth, we can actually attack the problem with X, Y, or Z. When God talks to you about your life, he doesn't always say the things that you want to hear in a similar manner. But he always tells you the truth. And I like that. And it's always good for us, to be honest. And when he says, I don't want you to go down that street, it's a dead end. He tells us that because he cares about our life. He says, it'll mess you up. It will waste your time, your life, your energy, your money. Don't get involved in that kind of lifestyle because this is the ends that you'll meet. I want you to do this stuff over here. I don't want you to do that stuff over there. And he doesn't do it because he's judgmental or limiting. It's because he's being loving and a caring father, and because he cares about your life, and because he always wants what's best for you, because he loves you. And so he calls out to you and he says, follow me, trust me, and I'll give you peace. I'll help you navigate this world. I'll remind you that I've got you. And then he also says, I came to heal your hurts. And I think this is a big one. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. And one of the things I just kind of think is a truism at this point is that everybody has hidden hurts. Everybody has hidden wounds. And I think this is true. It's true of everybody. Now, you may be awesome at hiding them. I mean, of course you are. You appear sophisticated. You appear cool, you know, hip. You got it all together. You're amazing. I get it. But we all know that we don't have it all together because nobody does. And when we feel that, and no matter how much we push it down, there's just always those moments, right? Surface, where it surfaces enough, where we feel the pain. We're always very aware of the pain. And it may be something that happened to us a long time ago, something that was said to us that hurt, and we just haven't been able to let go of it. Something that was done to you and it hurt. Maybe it was something that you did too, I don't know. But you just can't get over the regret or the pain or the guilt or the hurt or the shame. You've tried, Lord knows that you've tried. You've tried to bury it as much as you can, but it just keeps surfacing. And the truth is you just don't want anybody to know because it's painful and it's embarrassing and I don't know, it still hurts. And then at Christmas we come and we're supposed to be happy. I mean, it's a happy time. We say, this is the season to celebrate. This is the season of good cheer. But in reality, a lot of people at Christmas are just lonely. And a lot of people at Christmas are just, oh, we're just hurting. A lot of people at Christmas are going to hang out with family members. And there's lots of unresolved issues there. Sometimes we don't even want to go. There's all kinds of undercurrents and unresolved conflicts. They're stressed out and they're depressed. I mean, not everybody has a Hallmark card sort of family, do they? But here's the good news. No matter where you're hurting this Christmas, Jesus Christ can heal it. That's his promise. Whether it's resentment or worry or guilt or fear or bitterness or boredom or grief or whatever, Jesus Christ can heal your hurt. He's the light of the world. And I guess I would think of it like this. More and more doctors today are discovering the healing power of light. They're using it in a lot of different ways, I guess. They use light therapy for stimulate the hypothalamus. I think I got that right. They use it in surgeries like, you know, eye surgeries with the lasers and different things. And I want to use that as an example for a second. They're going to use a light, a laser, right, to give you sight, right? That's the principle behind that. So you need the light to get the sight so that you can see things as they really are again. Maybe you're starting to get the parallel. In a similar way, you need God's light, his forgiveness, his care, his strength, his love, his truth in your life so that you can truly see life as it really is again. And although doctors and surgeries are amazing, the truth is only God can heal a broken heart. And only God can heal a broken spirit. And only God can heal a broken relationship. And only God can heal a broken dream. He says, come to me, right? Because I came to heal your hurt. It's an interesting thing. In fact, this is why it says Jesus came to save us. The Bible says in John 12, I didn't come to judge the world, but to save it. Jesus says, I didn't come to tell you all the stuff that you're doing wrong. I mean, chances are, you know, it's pretty self-evident to most of us, right? But he said, I came to save you. In other words, you guys need a savior. I think objectively we can stand back and look at life or look at a world and we go, yeah, we could use something. I mean, you know. But he's saying you need a savior. And that's why the angels at that very first Christmas said, I bring you tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day a savior who is Christ the Lord. So what does it mean to be saved? It means to be saved, I guess, first and foremost from hell, right, through the blood of Christ. But it also means to be saved or freed to be what God wants you to be. You see, salvation is a word that just means freedom. And in Jesus, you literally are set free. Set free to be the person God called you to be in the first place. Set free to be all that he wants you to be. So you start asking, what did he save us from? Well, hell and sin, I guess, first of all. We talked about that, but there's more than that, actually. He came to free us from our hopelessness. Because he reminds us that he's got us, that he's there, that he's got a plan for our life. And that plan is still valid and he's still working things for our good and his glory. And it's not just a plan for us, but a plan for this world that the final chapter has not been written yet, that there'll be a second act to come. It reminds us that there's a heaven. There's a place where we could hang out with him for eternity. He came to free us from our fears. Because he reminds us again and again of how faithful he is. And he shows us that throughout scripture and how we can trust him more and more with our life. And as we trust him more and more, those fears dissipate, as does the worry and the anxiety and the doubts. He came to save us from our bitterness because he forgives us and then he teaches us how to forgive other people. He came to free us from our guilt because Jesus one day would die and rise again so that we could be forgiven. He saves us from the expectations of other people because he reminds us again that we now live for an audience of one, him. He saves us from so many things, the habits, the hurts, the hang-ups that mess up our life. And on Christmas, Jesus just offers us this opportunity to be saved. I mean, that's why he came. He came to make your life better. He came to free you from the demons of your past and from that guilt and from those hang-ups and from those resentments. He came to give you a better way of living. He came to save you. And my prayer today, and I know you're amazing people, right? But my prayer today is that if you haven't already, that you'd let him. That you'd let him in just a little bit more and trust him just a little bit more with your life. That if you're going this way and he's calling you to go this way, that you start going this way. That if you're just beating yourself up from the past, you finally let him forgive you. That if you're haunted by past hurts, that you'd trust on him and lean on him to give you the strength to move it from resentment to pity, and so you could finally let go of all that hurt. If you're scared out of your mind about the future, that you'd rely on him and trust him when he says, I'm with you. And that he'll give you the strength to keep on keeping on as a single mom or somebody who's just starting work and is freaking out because you don't know anything. We didn't all, none of us knew anything. If you're worried about the future and keeping your job or whatever, that he would give you the strength to keep on doing right things. But that you would trust him more in your life so that he could come in and make that difference. And that's my prayer for you guys tonight. And all God's people said, Amen.